KGRGFM, KGRGFM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP Sunday Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and luckily I didn't cross any black cats coming in this morning, because if I did, I'd probably end up sick like a Danica. That's right, for those of you who don't know, and you've probably noticed, Danica's been missing all week just because poor girl's been sick with the flu, and I guess this is the second time she's been sick with the flu this month, and it's only the 13th. She probably has the worst luck ever when it comes to, like, either getting injured or getting sick. So, I'm hoping for a speedy recovery. This entire week, sort of been touch and go with her. She's better now. She's okay. She's not going to die. But she's still kind of sick. She should be back next week on Wednesday. Which brings me to my other piece of news. I have word that we might have new interns coming up next week on Wednesday, so I'm really excited for that. For those of you who don't know, Journalism 110 is a class offered here at Green River College, and if you want to be a part of the grade is you get to be an intern on a sweet show like The Buzz. So if you want to be a part of The Buzz, sign up for Journalism 110 at Green River College. You can join next quarter. Next quarter is going to be spring, and that's going to be in a few months. So be on the lookout for that. That's greenriver.edu, Journalism 110. Become an intern on The Buzz. Well, let's stick with this morning. We're looking to the future. This morning, we got a bunch of fun stuff going up. We have Matt and Tim from the Not So Much Buzz Show calling in for their Friday geeky news segment that we usually do. It's a ton of fun. We've got your love connection, procured by yours truly. And we've got our brand new segment that I still need a name for. On top of that, we have your last pair of tickets for August Burns Red happening at El Corazon January 20th. Stay tuned. Awesome show for you this morning. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG. We'll be back with Geeky News after I'm a Nightmare by Brand New.
Geeky News. Geeky News. Geeky News. Geeky News.
KGRG, 89.9 FM. You're listening to The Buzz. It's Friday at 6:20, so it's time for a very special edition of Geeky News. Something we only do on Fridays. We have our friends from the Not So Much But Us show, Matt and Tim, they call in, and we discuss some geeky news that's going on. We've got a lot of stuff going up. In fact, here they are. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
How are you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Pretty awesome.
Nice. Now I got a question for you. How cold is it up there in Cleveland? Like
right now? Well, it was 60 yesterday.
It was 60 yesterday?
Yeah, recognized. No, it was really. Today, it's about 30 right now.
Yeah, it's kind of rainy, damp.
So yesterday, our high was 38.
Terrible.
Yeah, and that's about the warmest it's been all week. This morning I got a coffee on the way in. It was cold by the time I got to the studio, and the studio was like maybe 3 blocks away.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Did you put cream in your coffee?
I'm not sure what they put in it. I just sort of ask for a mocha and drink whatever they give me.
That's the safe way to go. Yeah. It's kind of your guys' fault for being so close to Alaska.
Right?
Yeah,
blame it on the distance, I guess.
Well, at least we're not Portland. Portland's gotten like 13 inches of snow.
I know it affected my Cavaliers.
Did it really?
The Portland Trailblazers. Yeah, because they couldn't get in. They got in like super late, like right before the game started. So no warm ups, no stretching, and they got they lost by like 30 points. They did terrible.
Ugh.
Yeah, but I'm still holding my Cavaliers coffee mug.
There you go.
Where you guys are at when it snows? Do you have snow bans? Like you can't park on the street between certain hours?
I haven't heard of that before. Typically, if it snows, it usually catches everybody by surprise.
We can't park on the street between like certain times because the snow plows have to go through. So we have to like make sure we're not on the streets in dark hours.
We don't I don't think I've ever seen a snowplow in Western Washington, or at least like one actively working. Most of them end up in between the mountain passes between Western Washington and Eastern Washington. It's been a weird winter, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. 60 degrees yesterday, that was pretty weird.
So let's go ahead and get into some news. I wanted to talk about a couple of stories I saw yesterday. One of them being that we got a confirmed villain for the Wonder Woman movie.
Oh, Ares.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was kind of a given.
I wasn't surprised. There was a few things that came out this past week that I just wasn't surprised. Who else is going to be Wonder Woman's first villain? Like, that is her villain.
You can't do Cheetah because it's too low. You know, you can't do that.
They could try.
Can you imagine, like, seeing a girl in, like, a cheat outfit and, like, flipping around and throwing stuff at Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
I just can't take it seriously.
I mean, you have a lady named after a spider doing the same thing, right?
True.
Yeah, you do.
Spider-Man fought a Green Goblin. I mean, when you say that out loud, it sounds kind of super.
He's fighting a vulture in his next movie.
Right?
Yeah, right.
He has a villain called Rhino.
Yeah, like, no one's making fun of that. Oh, he's fighting a guy dressed up like a bird. You know?
No, but I think Ares would be pretty cool. I think it's a good fit because he's the god of war, right?
Oh yeah,
right. Yeah. So it's perfect. She's in World War One. Her villain's the god of war. Perfect. It's already a nice little setup, and I can't wait to see him battle. Ares is a cool villain. I don't really know much about him though, but he looks awesome.
Did you guys ever watch the animated DVD Wonder Woman movie?
I haven't yet. No.
It's really good. It's really good.
Yeah, don't listen to him. It sucks.
I've never seen it.
And then the other piece of news we got was we got the set photo this week of the entire Justice League together.
Oh yeah,
and that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean it was cool enough to put on our Instagram, so we did that. But it was cool, you know. I've actually really liked the picture. I think they all look really cool. I'm not the biggest Cyborg fan. I'd like to see Superman in the middle, but I know they're saving him, you know, resurrect him.
I think I'm more excited about Cyborg than anyone. We already seen Flash, so I have to adjust to a different Flash. I haven't seen Cyborg on the big screen.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I'd rather have Cyborg in a Teen Titans movie, though.
Yeah, well, oh yeah. You know, I there was a rumor when they announced the Cyborg movie, which is, you know, 2023, who knows when it's coming out, but when it is coming out, there's a rumor that there's going to be Teen Titans in it. But I don't know how true that's going to end up, you know, being.
And they should. I really don't want to see Cyborg by himself in a movie, honestly. I just don't need it.
Yeah. It could be the Teen Wolf version of superhero movies.
Something that one of the other show hosts and I have been talking about, Mike, he does a show on Monday nights. We were talking about how episodic these movies have become.
Mike Siebert?
Exactly.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, I love Mike because he likes everything.
Everything. It's great. Shout out to Mike Siebert.
Right? He's on Monday nights from 7 to 10 o'clock. Sometimes he bleeds into 11 on Mondays, but...
I can post anything, and he likes it. It's great.
I just use his name as an exclamation now. Like, I go places, and like, you have a good day. I say, I'll tell you what, man, it's a Mike Siebert today.
There you go! but
go ahead, sorry.
We were talking about how these movies have become too episodic. And I think that something that could save the DC comic movies and set them apart from Marvel movies is the one thing DC has on Marvel is the sidekicks, right?
Yeah.
Iron Man doesn't have a sidekick. Captain America, you technically had Bucky, but you can't really name off any Marvel sidekicks. When it comes to DC, you have Robin, you have Speedy, you have Aqualad. You have Superboy. You could almost get a Young Justice movie or a live-action Young Justice movie going if you just start planting those sidekicks in. We haven't had a good sidekick in a movie since the George Clooney Batman.
Yeah, they do have the sidekick thing over them. You know, it's hard to say when they're going to bring in... I think they're still, like, nervous from the fact that they did bring in Robin in the George Clooney one and it didn't really work out. How they would bring in a Robin or Aqualad or whatever in this darker tone DC world.
Yeah, if you're careful, just jump right to Nightwing. Like,
what I would do. Yeah. In fact, like, I really wanted Scott Eastwood's character in Suicide Squad. He was only in it for, like, a little bit. I wanted that to be Dick Grayson, like, older Dick Grayson Nightwing. Like, on, like, you know, a spy mission for
Batman. That's a cool concept.
Well, they could do Damian Wayne. Like, they can make the Batman movie sort of the Son of the Batman animated movie.
Son of Bat, which is a great animated movie.
And he's the darkest of the Robins. He's a, 10-year-old kid who goes around murdering people?
Yeah. They could do it.
I like him.
Which is interesting. I mean, Batman's already killing people in BVS, so might as well watch that.
Yeah, there you go.
It'd be interesting. If they already have an older Bruce Wayne, so if he had, like, a 12-year-old kid running around, I guess. But the thing is, with the DC world, nothing's established. Like, you had Superman in 1.5 movies, and he was garbage. Well, not garbage, but he wasn't as done very well, in my opinion. You had Batman in one movie, and you had Suicide Squad. They're just not – they need a foundation. And once they get their foundation, then let's see, like, Robin, you know, Aqualad and all that stuff. But it's hard to say. I mean, everything, I feel like, changes. with them. In the
For
WWE.
Me, they can do anything gimmicky to get my attention. Like, do Blue Beetle or something right now.
I would love a Blue Beetle movie.
Yeah. Do something different. That would be really cool. He's a cool character.
Switching gears into something that already is pre-established, Entertainment released pictures from The Defenders.
Yeah. I've been waiting for you to say that. That's, like, my favorite story of the week. It's awesome. Go ahead.
They all look amazing.
Let's put something down right away there. Keep talking about all these people who are confirmed for Infinity Wars. Let's just be honest. Whether they confirm it or not, Defenders are in there. They're in there. I don't care. They need to be in there.
I think so.
I think they will be in somehow. They have to. They should.
Well, really quick, because I know we'll probably jump into that. Really quick, just the Defenders. I know it was just a poster, and then there they had separate still images. But the poster, I love how it was just spray painted. Like, it said Public Defenders or something like that.
Yeah, it has enemies crossed out. It has Defenders on it. It's perfect.
That is awesome. That's November. We are in for a huge 2017 as far as superhero movies and, you know, comic book movies go. It's going to be a big year.
This is the first year we're getting 3 Marvel movies.
Yeah. Well, and if you think of this, too, you have Guardians, May, Spider-Man, July, Thor in November. Then you have the Inhumans 2-hour special in IMAX, which might as well be a movie. And then that new series, not to mention Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not to mention Iron Fist in March, and not to mention Defenders in November. Wow. Like, what? What world are we living in?
I was trying to order online last night, actually, the Defenders poster after I saw it. But I'll tell you what, even more, remember when you brought up the vinyl?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
The Luke Cage one?
Already? Yeah, all of them are just nuts.
But us, I saw for all 4 collection was like about 400.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, no, man. I thought it would go on there for like this. I thought when you brought that up and I looked like that day, we were looking at the art on them, like, that'd be great in the studio. And I thought, we have no budget, but I'm like, we'll try to come up with like 90 or 100 bucks for all 3 of them. I thought maybe I'd get, no, that's not happening.
No, you're paying 100 for one. Oh.
Yeah, and they are
cool.
They're going up and up minute by minute.
And we've got pictures of Iron Fist. We just haven't really seen him in action yet, or we haven't got any trailers yet. So I'm really interested to see what they end up doing with him, because they released something a while ago when they announced him, but we haven't seen much since then.
No. I mean, there's a small teaser out there, which is cool, but I'm cool. I mean, I don't need to see much. We're 2 months away, and I'm ready. I'm just going to binge watch it when it comes out.
It was the best, most subtle transition to him, though, at the end of the Luke Cage.
Well, I guess for the villain and the Defenders, we're supposed to have Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know who she's playing. I think she'll end up being, like, I think she could be, like, a leader of the Hand, like a mega boss of the Hand or something.
Was my favorite part of Daredevil. Like, the fact that they started switching away from the street or the street crime into more of the weird villains and stuff, that was my favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited for this.
Did you see I'm sure you saw all the Infinity War news, like Tim kind of just brought up a minute ago with all these.
Yeah, like we now have a confirmed Spider-Man. We have Peter Dinklage confirmed, but we don't have a character for him yet. And I can't peg who I think he's going to be.
See, I heard he was in talks yesterday when I was looking it up. I thought it said in serious talks to Marvel, which might as well be confirmed, actually. But, I mean, who's the first person you think Peter Dinklage could be?
I'm blanking on his name, but there's that bald dude who just sort of sits in the chair.
Yeah. Yeah, what's his
name? Hey, Tim.
No, I was trying to think. I know what you're talking about. What?
You don't remember his name?
No.
The Watcher, man.
There you go.
Well, the Watcher. I'm even thinking, God, when you guys said bald person, there's another short bald person.
Or someone said, there's a Captain America villain. The little head.
Oh, MODOK?
MODOK.
Oh!
That would be hilarious.
Because we haven't seen him yet.
Somebody said MODOK, and I was like, that'd be funny.
In the mask of terror.
I can't, I don't know, I think that's too gimmicky.
That's too weird for, that would fit more for Iron Man.
Here's Thanos is world domination. It's the end of the universe with Thanos. What happens when the end of the universe is upon us? The Watcher appears. So, I think he's the Watcher, but who knows?
He would be a cool, I see that now. I had to put myself in there and see if I...
Yeah, with glowing eyes and bald head, it'd be awesome. But, yeah,
sort of wasted him in the X-Men movie he was in. He was in Days of Future Past.
Yeah, he was all right.
He could have been anybody else.
That movie was okay as a whole. But, like, with Spider-Man and Gamora, I thought Gamora's confirmed, old Guardians team. And oddly, I saw this odd one. I saw that Betty Ross is confirmed.
Yeah, I can see that, though.
I guess, but, like, where is she? Is it going to be Liv Tyler?
She's a catalyst between other movies.
I guess. But, like Tim said, and I don't know if you tweeted me the other day when we were talking, when I said, like, surprising, Spider-Man's confirmed, you know, I mean, is anyone really surprised? Everyone's going to be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone.
And I tweeted out that I don't think we're going to see Cap until the second one. Like, we're going to see at the end of the first part, I think that we're going to have Iron Man pull out Cap's burner phone, like his weird little drug dealer prepaid phone, and just finally give him a call.
That's what I was thinking, too. Like, there's going to be, like, you're going to have Iron Man and his team, which is going to be, you know, whoever, and then they're going to get pretty much, you know, beaten up and all that. And I think Iron Man, like, someone's like, Tony Stark, you know, I don't know who it is, Peter Parker, whoever, and be like, we need to do this. Like, we need everyone. And you're going to see him and just see Tony Stark on the phone and be like, Cap, we need you. Boom, credits. Something like that. Like, something,
yeah, exactly.
Did that phone have text capability?
I don't know if it works in space, though. Like, if they're fighting Thanos in space, does he get service out there?
Right. I mean,
you know, I don't think much of the movie is going to be in space. I don't know. I think it's going to be somewhere on Earth. I do, because there's, what, 3 Infinity Stones on Earth now? I just see Thanos coming to Earth and being like, give me them, and you're going to have... you know, in the first Avengers, I was getting super excited. When we had all 6 of them, they did the rotation camera, the epic rotation. I want to see 35 Avengers lined up on the streets of, like, Chicago, all in line from, like, highest rank to lowest rank, and just a camera going down the line.
Yeah, but that's 12 minutes of rotation. I like the rotations. A lot of people hate that shot.
A lot of people are stupid.
I love the shot, but
now between part 1 and part 2, we are getting a Ant-Man and Wasp movie, and we're getting a Captain Marvel movie.
You gotta be really excited. Your Ant-Man is really your person. I'll tell you what. I said it before. I want it to be Hank Pym. I want Hank Pym to find his mother and her to be Wasp.
I still want a...
Not Hank Pym, sorry.
Hank Pym to find his wife.
Yeah, his wife.
Well, I still want a, like, Hank Pym World War II special, similar to what they did with Agent Carter. Because he did a lot of World War II work, and they touched on that a little bit in the first Ant-Man movie, but that's something they could explore. And that's part of the reason I'm bummed they rushed Captain America so quickly. They did the one World War II movie, and then, boom, he's in the future. They could have played around with Captain America and Hank Pym working together in World War II. That would have been great.
Well, that wouldn't have worked, I don't think, because Captain America was frozen in, what, early 40s, mid-40s? Hank Pym at that point was, what, in the Marvel movie universe?
Oh, yeah.
What was he, 10?
Yeah.
That's why I'm a little... not Hank Pym.
Yeah, so I got you all confused now.
But I'm just sort of bummed they didn't play around with that more. Because, like, watching Ant-Man running around with the tanks and stuff was my favorite part.
Yeah. So, in that Ant-Man Wasp movie, obviously you're going to have Paul Rudd and the Angela Lilly, whoever her name is, the characters. But I think they're going to do a lot of flashbacks. Like, now that they've been using this what was it called? Like, that technology where they make the characters look younger, like what they did in Tony Stark's Civil War. I think you're going to see that in Ant-Man and Wasp with Hank Pym and whoever they cast as Janet Van Dyne. I think they're going to show them their background more as Ant-Man and Wasp in the past.
Yeah, because what else can you do in between Avengers movies, right?
Yeah.
How are you feeling about these youthful digitized... Did you see Star Wars yet?
I did.
Like, Carrie Fisher, are you worried if they have to digitize her in the next film?
So, my girlfriend hadn't seen the original trilogy yet. So, she didn't know that the Admiral had already been dead for a while.
Okay.
So, when I told her that, I said, hey, the guy with the really big cheekbones who looks like he contours every day, he's been dead for years, and she was really surprised. So, from somebody who didn't know that they had digitized him, it worked. And I think that's about the best you can hope for. When it comes to Carrie Fisher, though, I don't think you can. They did a pretty good job at the end of Rogue One with the Princess Leia appearance, but I don't think you could do anything past that.
Yeah, see, Matt and I were talking about how that's why it works, because, like, it bothered me a little bit, but it was so short of a clip. Matt just said this before we started. He said it's such a short clip that they got away with it. And now if they used her in a digital way throughout the film a lot more, there's a term in special effects. I don't know if you ever heard of the term Uncanny Valley.
I haven't, no.
Yeah, it basically talks about, like, if you make something so hyper-realistic, it looks creepy. Like, when they make those animated, like, mechanical babies, and they look so real, they look creepy. It's because, like, your subconscious, you're so used to seeing things a certain way that when you see it on screen so well done that you still don't accept it and it looks creepy. I think that's kind of what we got with Carrie Fisher. Like, if you see her on screen for more than, like, that couple seconds, it's going to look really weird.
And she's supposed to have a pretty major role in the next movie, in episode 8.
I'm on the other side of it. I want her in episode 8, CG or in.
Well, the filming was already done.
Was her part done?
Yes.
Okay, so are they talking about episode 9 to CG her in then?
They're thinking about CG-ing her into episode 9. I'm not sure what else they could do, especially with such a big character like that, besides maybe tossing her on a planet and blowing her up?
They could do that. If they want to CG her into a movie, like episode 9, for whatever screen time would have been, I'm fine with it. I think by the time episode 9 comes around, they're going to master it. If she is part of the story and she has to be in there, if it benefits it, I'd say do it.
Just have her be a hologram a lot.
You could do that.
Lots of holograms.
There's ways around it. I want to see her in it one way or another.
Yeah, you got to have her finish it out. Now, how do you guys feel about the Han Solo movie? Because we've gotten a little bit of casting news from that, the most recent being that Woody Harrelson was confirmed. And the rumor has it is he's going to be a young Han Solo's mentor.
Yeah, I love Woody Harrelson. I don't know if I care about a Han Solo movie.
I give zero F. Basically, I don't care at all. Why does Han Solo need a mentor, for starters? I don't care about that. I like Woody Harrelson, but that's the last standalone movie I want to see is a Han Solo one. And I'm sure it's Star Wars. I'll see it because I'm all talk.
The cast looks really good. On top of that, you have Donald Glover playing a young Lando.
Yeah, Lando. So I like Donald Glover, too.
The cast looks really good. I'll give him that.
It does. It does look good. I'm going to give it a chance. It's just as far as the characters go, I'm not interested. I like them, but they were always... they always help the story, like, to help the narrative move along in Star Wars. Like, with Luke and Leia and Darth Vader and stuff. They're cool. I don't need to see a movie on it, but I will be there. And it's going to be interesting to see Woody Harrelson and kind of what he brings to the Star Wars.
Right. He's in Planet of the Apes, right?
He's in Planet of the Apes.
He's got to focus on the Apes.
Well, like, seeing Forrest Whitaker in Rogue One, he didn't do anything for me.
He didn't. He is Saul Guerrero.
Yeah.
June! God. Awesome. Right?
A throwaway character.
He had more of a wheeze to him than Darth Vader did.
He was part of the Clone Wars cartoon. His character, Saul Guerrero, big part of it. He was always, he's just younger. So, it's cool as far as like canon stuff goes, but Forrest Whitaker, whatever.
He's supposed to show up in Rebels as well, and we're this next season of Rebels, we're getting a older Obi-Wan.
Yes! Oh, that's the best thing in that trailer.
I was saying, in Star Wars, that might be the most exciting thing.
Yeah, I agree. I'm so on board. I don't really watch Rebels, but I always watch those episodes.
Watch anything. We were just watching everything with Ahsoka.
Yeah, I love it.
And God, man, I didn't watch that cartoon, and when you go to the parts of Ahsoka and Anakin, oh my gosh.
I wouldn't mind seeing an Ahsoka movie.
Me neither. I take an Ahsoka movie over probably any movie like they could do. I want to see Obi-Wan Solo too, but I want an Ahsoka movie, hands down.
Yeah, put that on Twitter, man. I want to know how many people want that. Yeah. I want that.
I have a quick question. I know I'll wrap up in a few minutes. I just have a really quick question. It's one question.
Okay.
So if you guys, me and Tim are talking about this, if you guys had to take any comic book character, you know, Marvel, DC, I guess, and you had to bring them in as your intern for however long you guys keep interns, who would you pick? And this means, like, they help with, like, they can help with anything you want them to do. They can do coffee, donuts, they can do camera work, they can do editing, they can do soundboards, anything they want to do, or anything you need them to do. Even if it's just like gaffing, like taping down. Yeah, even if it's just taping stuff. Anything stupid. Who would you pick?
Is it DC or Marvel?
DC or Marvel, yeah.
Okay.
You almost have to go with Tony Stark or Iron Man just because between disposable income and technical knowledge, there's a lot of stuff up here in the studios to where I bet he can whip it into shape or make it better, right?
I agree. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. My thing was, I thought Tony Stark, how do you not, right? And the only thing is, I don't believe I could boss Tony Stark around. He'd be like, you're too good. I'm too good for you. And he'll just, like, leave. Like, he won't care. And I don't believe he'd fund the
He's
show.
He's like, Pepper, red logo, KGRG, no. Right. Not happening.
Oddly enough, as much as I'm not the biggest fan of this person, I think I'd pick Cyborg. Because he could, like, I feel like he's super smart, but yet he's, like, a kid. Like, Teen Titans Cyborg, he's a kid, so he'll listen, he'll be excited, and he can use all the technologies, like, getting your computers and your cameras and stuff and, like, fix problems.
And I was saying the Spot.
And Tim was the Spot, which...
The Spot from Spider-Man, remember he creates, like, those vortexes in the air, and he could put his hands through them, and, like, he can grab your coffee from, like, another room over and just, like, hand you coffee. And
well,
stuff.
Why not, if you're going Spider-Man, why not go Doc Ock, right? Hopefully a little less insane, but... If you want somebody on your soundboard and your cameras, there you go.
Right, he has six arms.
Yeah.
He can just, like, go everywhere. And then plus, like, he could get, like, if someone's trying to get in your studio, like, he'd be a little aggressive about it. Like, out. He would just push him out with, like, one of his metal arms.
Well, there was that, there was the series they did with Spider-Man where, I think it was, like, Peter Parker or whoever the current Spider-Man was died, and Doc Ock ended up becoming Spider-Man. Like, they got body swapped or something.
Is that, like, Amazing Spider-Man or Spectacular
Yes,
Spider-Man?
This was Amazing a couple Spider-Man. Years back.
I know what you're talking about.
I think I know what you're talking about,
too. I heard all about this. I didn't actually see it, though.
Supposedly, it was everybody's favorite Spider-Man.
Well, I'll have to give it a chance, then.
Yeah.
Because I thought, I'm like, that's kind of weird.
You know, Tony Stark, though, I when I think about this, he would leave the money. He'd just fund you and leave. I don't think he'd stick around to really care. I think he'd be like,
that's
here's
true.
Your money.
He'd leave the technology and stuff, though. Into Iron Man 2, he left that kid the weird little derpy arm. And then he left...
Oh, yeah.
He left Spider-Man... He keeps sending Spider-Man stuff. So you'd at least get some, like, care packages from Tony. he might show up to the show hungover if he does show up, but you'd get some care packages. Yeah.
Who's the last person you'd want?
Oh, Venom. Venom would make a hard episode.
Venom would be a top, like, a top intern?
We are Venom. We'd, like, things would be, microphones would be flying.
I mean, I guess you gotta go, like, I don't even know, the Hulk? If he wouldn't listen?
I'm almost thinking either Joker or Killer Croc. Killer Croc, I'd be afraid he would eat me the entire time. I'd have to keep an eye on him.
Even if he wasn't trying to eat you, you know he'd be thinking about it. He'd be staring at you across the board.
Right, Joker. Joker's. Oh, that's easy. Ultron. He would hack everything. He'd be like, we are Ultron. Your cameras would start talking to you and stuff. Oh, man.
I love this Ultron, though. Like,
Wait, what's that?
The actor who played him, or who voiced him at least, he did a great job. I fell in love with this Ultron.
Oh, no. We're not coming on your show anymore. I don't like it anymore.
I hated that Ultron. it's that actor. I can't have his name either. He does have a good voice. He's a good actor. I can't think of his name. Good actor, good voice.
Oh, I can't think of it. He was also on The Office.
Yeah, but that Ultron with his whole personality, terrible. What the worst, I think next to the Mandarin in Iron Man 3 and that whole mess, Ultron is the second worst villain to
he's
ever
all smiley and coy, and he's got, like, real remarks. I can't buy into that.
That's not my Ultron.
I mean, that's why I love Negan.
Well, Negan's hilarious. Yeah, Negan's like the greatest villain ever. I hope he kills everybody on the show and just takes over. I don't care. I love him.
Dude, even when I see Negan, what's his real name again?
I forgot. I'm just the worst with the actors' names in general.
I hear you, because he's not important. He's only important as Negan to me.
He did Watchmen.
Oh, that's right. He did that. He did Grey's Anatomy. I know that. Which I don't know why I know that.
Now, hey, I want to ask you guys about one movie before we get out of here.
Okay.
Do you need Tim Burton's live-action Dumbo movie?
Yeah.
It's going to be absolutely.
Starring Will Smith and Tom Hanks.
Is that real?
It is 100% real. It's so real that Dumbo is actually pushing back Bad Boys 3.
Oh, okay, hold on.
Wait, now that's, side note, this is Jeffrey, really weird.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is his name. Yeah. Sorry, I just had to get it out. Okay. It's bothering me. Anyways, hold on. Bad Boy, I'm a huge fan of Bad Boys.
Put 10 minutes on the clock.
In fact, I had a good salad last night, and I watched first Bad Boys. I love it.
So, they're making Bad Boys 3, but because Will Smith is going to be in the live-action Dumbo movie, in fact, I think he might even be Dumbo.
You just made this whole week so much better. I don't know if I believe you, but that's great.
But yeah, and then Tom Hanks is the villain.
Oh, fuck.
I'm frozen.
Absolutely. So Will Smith and Tom Hanks going head-to-head, and Tim Burton's directing it, so you know how that's going to look. And Dumbo's already like the darkest Disney movie ever. Oh, God.
That re-trumps my bringing up Charm being rebooted. Who cares about that?
I am on board.
I can't wait.
Sign me up. Buy my ticket. I'll buy three tickets.
This is going to be like Once Upon a Time, like when they did Peter Pan. Yeah. It's like Dumbo's going to come out of the air and be like, ooh, like the Angel of Death. And like,
I'm just waiting for the news of Johnny Depp to come in, because it's a Tim Burton movie. Johnny Depp's got to show up. He's probably going to end up being like one of the crows or something, or maybe all three.
All three of them. John Depp crows.
Oh my God!
Who is the villain in Dumbo? I don't know.
Was it the dude who owned the circus? I don't know.
I guess
he's just hated. I mean,
Dumbo. It's like the most depressing movie ever.
It's creepy.
I didn't know I needed this movie, and I love Tom Hanks.
I love
Tom Hanks. You know you need it.
I need it, man.
Well, guys, thanks for calling in this morning. This has been a ton of fun. We'll definitely catch you next week. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right.
You guys have a good morning.
Yeah, you too, man.
That was Matt and Tim from the Not Too Much Buzz Show. You can hear him here on The Buzz every Friday morning calling in for geeky news. You could also catch him on their YouTube channel. Just search the Not So Much Buzz Show. They're a lot of fun. Love talking to those dudes. Catch him next week. We'll be back. We'll do some hash it out after these messages.
It's time to see what weird and crazy things are trending out there in the Twitterverse. This is Hash It Out right here on The Buzz.
89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. Time to do some hashing it out. It's where we find those hashtags that are trending on Twitter, and we talk about them a little bit. This morning's going to be a little quick, but, you know, whatever. Having fun. We're just going to do one, and it's appropriate. We talked a lot about movies this morning during Geeky News. It's explain a film to a five-year-old. No, five-year-olds are pretty smart. So we'll see what these are. I know a lot of five-year-olds who could... That'd almost be insulting to each. But let's see what we can do. Our first one for hashtag explain the film to a five-year-old, we have, it was nap time inside of a nap time. Now in Inception, right? We have hashtag explain a film to a five-year-old. If you don't do what the men eating pasta say, they'll send you to live with your old goldfish we flushed. See, I was under the assumption that the goldfish just went to, like, goldfish camp or went upstate or whatever they say, right? I think that one's The Godfather, I hope? We have hashtag explain a film to a five-year-old. He dresses like an old grandma so he can visit his children. So that's Mrs. Doubtfire. And seeing that sentence not only makes sense, but it makes the entire movie, like, 80% creepier for me. I can't deal with that. Hashtag explain a film to a five-year-old. They had to go to school on a Saturday and became friends. All right, yeah, Breakfast Club, sure. Hashtag explain a film to a five-year-old. Superman forgets to ask Doomsday if their mommies have the same name. Awkward. Hashtag explain a film to a five-year-old. The wheels on the bus go round and round and can't go less than 50 miles per hour or the bus will explode. Yeah, that's definitely speed, as opposed to, was it speed 2 with the boat? Oh god, that one was awful. The wheels on the bus go round and round, unless it goes 50 miles an hour, or you're dead. Oh my god. Hashtag explain a film to a 5-year-old. Kid skips school, steals a car, steals a guy's identity, fakes being sick, calls it a day off. That's a lot of crimes. Like, that's 1, 2 felonies? That's definitely a couple of felonies and, like, a couple misdemeanors. That's not good, Ferris Bueller, in your day off. Hashtag explain a film to a 5-year-old. His fingers weren't really made out of gold. He just liked gold. No, you can't call your sister Snotfinger. Ha! Ha. Not the biggest... I've tried to get into the James Bond films. The Pierce Brosnan ones are the only ones I could really do. I've tried the newer ones. I even tried to watch, was it Spectre recently? He's too brooding for me. I can't do it. Or, like, Casino Royale. You're just making a movie about a bunch of dudes playing poker. That's Hashtag for this morning. Hashtag explain a film to a 5-year-old. Send your submissions to @TheBuzzKJRG on Twitter. We'll be back after Billy Talent, Louder Than a DJ, with your love connection. KJRG FM, KJRG FM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, 70 Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. So, Friday mornings, we also do a little thing called the Love Connection, where usually Danica, if she wasn't dying of the plague, would find some very unfortunate, tender messages and try to give these guys, or at least you, some advice on what not to do. I'm gonna try my best. I can't say I've ever had the most success on a dating website, but hey, that's what real life's for, right? So we'll go and get into our first part of, I almost said it wrong, the Love Connection. Here we go. So first one we got. Hi, I just got out of prison, and my parents changed the locks so I could really use a place to stay. You're cute, by the way. Response? What the? Redacted. Alrighty, so. That, I wouldn't lead off with the fact that you just got out of prison. That's probably, like, wrong step number one. Right? I can't deal with it. You lead off with the you're cute, but don't have that be an afterthought. Next one we have on the Love Connection. We'll do this one here. Apparently the quickest way to a girl's heart is the Lion King. So hey, two quick questions. Do you like the Lion King? And how do you feel about roleplay in bed? Next message. I'm open to pre-1997 Disney movies if Lion King isn't your thing. So with my girlfriend, we'll discuss movies. We'll discuss kids' movies all day. But don't mix kids' movies with adult things. That's where you get to the sad part of the internet that just sort of makes you feel gross. I would not recommend. Next messages we have on the Love Connection. Hey, how's it going? You look familiar. OKC? Question mark. Yep, we went on a date. Dude, if you guys went on a date once and it didn't end well, why would you message her, like, message each other again? I wouldn't, if I was on a bad date with somebody and there's a reason why I'm continuing to use these dating websites, I'd just sort of skip over it. Next one we have. Hey, I think I love you. I am in love with you. That's a quick jump, buddy. You shouldn't lead off with that stuff. He's into it. Something somebody didn't tell me with when it comes to dating apps, I guess this is a thing. Somebody sent out a message. So how does this work? Are we dating now? I mean, that's basically me, right? I couldn't figure out the dating website, so I resorted to real life, and that required going outside, which arguably easier. I don't do well with pictures. I'd look awful at them. Response to that message though was, I'm pregnant. It's yours. I would freak out. Pregnancy scares in general freak me out, but that one, just from a stranger, would probably be the worst. Last one we have, and this guy needs to slow way the heck down. I'd hold your hand in public. I don't know if that's the creepiest thing anybody could ever say, or if that's the sweetest thing anybody could ever say. You could argue both ways, right? I'd hold your hand in public. Means, hey, I'd like to be seen with you. You're pretty cute, right? Could also be, they have a thing for hands. Who knows? But that was your love connection for this morning on 89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz. I have the last pair of August Burns Red tickets in studio in my hand right now. If you want to win them, call 253-833-5004. They're playing at El Corazon January 20th. It's their 10th anniversary. I'm excited for this show, dude. It's going to be a sick show. So if you want to go to a really awesome show, that's 253-833-5004 for free August Burns Red tickets. We'll be back after Cool Slept by Chastity Belt. You're listening to The Buzz. Some Oakley Dokley for you this morning on 89.9 KGRG-FM. Good morning. You're listening to The Buzz. It's time to play our new game, which this point I think I'm going to settle on calling it The Situation, where we have a series of situations, and like all things, it comes with consequences, right? You make a choice, you gotta live with the consequences. So we have some bizarre situations with some very bizarre consequences, and we'll see what the internet has to say about our choices. First situation we have. Dun, dun, dun. You can fly. But you have to land on a person, effectively killing them in order to stop. Now, if you want to weigh in on the situation or any of the ones that I read this morning during the segment, you can call 253-833-5004. That's 253-833-5004. So you can fly, but you have to land on a person, effectively killing them in order to stop. I'm afraid of heights. So I'm not sure how well I could do with flying. Like, I might actually enjoy flying because I know I can't fall if it's, like, high up, right? I'd feel bad about killing somebody. What if you flew at a low altitude? Do you need to fly into somebody to, like, slow down? I'm going to say yes and say I'm going to fly at a low altitude, relatively slow, almost hover. So, like, if I need to go somewhere, I'll just gently bump into someone as opposed to, you know, barreling into them at 80 miles an hour and from a mile up. According to the internet, it's split down the middle, 50-50. So half the people on the internet would, half the people on the internet wouldn't. Next situation we have, you will be able to regenerate 12 times from mortal wounds, but you will change personalities each time. Essentially, a new person will walk off with your memories. That's Doctor Who. That's Doctor Who. If I'm getting stabbed or like killed or something 12 times, I'd rather just die once and get it over with. 56% of the internet said they would become Doctor Who. 44% said they wouldn't. My next situation we have. You can see people naked, but you would have to walk naked all the time. I mean, you just go on the internet, right? Not suggesting you do, kids. Don't look up naked people on the internet. The KGRG and The Buzz do not condone it. But if you wanted to see naked people, man, like, that's what the internet's for. That's for walking around naked all the time. As long as I don't get arrested, yeah, sure. It's a little cold up here, so I might have to move south to, like, California or something, but I've been known to streak occasionally. So I'd say yes, just because I don't mind walking around naked. 31% of the internet would, 69% would not see people naked in exchange for walking around nude all the time. That's no fun. Ooh. Here we go. This one's right up my alley. The situation is, you now have a Green Lantern ring. Done. But you must go on patrol in space as Green Lantern. You can never see your friends, family, or lover again. Yeah, sure. Like, I'd feel bad about Thursday and missing my friends and family, whatever. I'd feel bad, sure, but I'd hope they'd understand. I have the Green Lantern symbol tattooed on my freaking chest. This is the one opportunity to live out a long, long childhood dream of mine. So I'd hope they would understand. But there are other people in space, right? 34% of the internet would, 66. 66% of the internet a bunch of losers, because it would not. Next one we have, no trafficking rules apply to you, but all vehicles you drive will act as if it was a horse. Gas was still required, though. So does that mean you're, like, if you press on the horn, your car will get angry at you? Do you have to ride on top of the car and steer it with... How does it act like a horse? I mean, horses are great. My dad has a couple of horses, and the best way he describes them is they're like dogs, only larger. And it's accurate. You see them running around and playing. They act like a couple of just oversized dogs. And have no trafficking rules apply to me? That would get dangerous. I already kind of drive like they don't. I speed a little bit more often than I should, and depending on the time of night, I take stop signs as a suggestion. But I don't know how a vehicle could act like a horse. Would it whinny at me? When it gets its oil checked, like, would you stick a thermometer up the tailpipe? I'd be interested to see what a vehicle acting like a horse would be. 53% would also not mind if the vehicle was a horse. 47%, they're no fun and they would like to abide by the law. And we'll have our last situation this morning. You can travel through time and space without any limits instantaneously, but for every one trip you make, you age 1 year and you don't know when you are going to die. So, you travel far enough into the future to where you can... Basically, where age is irrelevant, or like death is irrelevant, stuff like that. Thinking of Rick and Morty as the first episode where Rick travels to another dimension where people never get old and you can buy medication to fix your broken legs just at a corner store. Travel to that place, right? And if you're older, you'd be the oldest person there, and like Rick, you'd be a celebrity. So why not? 62% of the internet said they would, 38% said they would not. That one's a safe bet. Saying you wouldn't is a pretty safe bet. It'd be real tempting to travel multiple times, and yeah, a year or two isn't that big of a deal. But once you get up to like 5, 6, 7, maybe even 10 years, you'll start aging noticeably, and it'd get a little weird. But that was The Situation on The Buzz, our brand new segment. Stay tuned, we've got August Burns Red next. If you want to win tickets to see August Burns Red live at Elkhorn Zone on January 20th, call 253-833-5004. Your news is up next. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG-FM.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KGRG Presents August Burns Red at Elkhorn Zone on January 20th. Joined by Protest the Hero, In Heart's Wake, and 68, January 20th at Elkhorn Zone. If you want to win tickets right now, that's 253-833-5004 for a super hardcore night of moshing and punching each other in the face. It's going to be a sick show. And that's 253-833-5004 for free tickets to see August Burns Red on January 20th. It's their 10th anniversary tour for Messengers.
Woo!
Let's get into some news, and this morning's has been a little weird. Well, we'll start with, we don't usually get into the politics. And this morning's I almost didn't, but it's local, it's up here in Seattle, and it's noteworthy, I guess. I'm calling this guy an idiot. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say. Call me at 253-833-5004. But an aspiring Seattle councilman wants you to control every decision he makes through an app. Young Seattle technocrat plans to run for city council with the hopes that if he wins, every political decision he makes will be crowdsourced through an app. He says, quote, I'm going to build a web application and let you control my seat. He said in a recent YouTube video, all bills, measures, whatever action items are coming up on my docket, I will put on the web for you to vote on. He envisions an app in which every aspect of his council seat would be controlled by his constituents. The app would feature tools to build new bills, participate in discussion, and bring up issues users are concerned with. In conjunction with running for City Council District 8, Aspirant has created a political party named the X Party. He says the X Party has no specific goals or ideals other than to make political process more accessible for all. That's bad news. That is bad, bad news. For those of you who don't know, KJRG and The Buzz have no political leanings one way or the other. But letting somebody control a political seat through an app, I'm going to refer you to a infamous Twitch series where somebody decided to create an application where people could vote on how they play Pokemon. The original Pokemon games, like I think it was red version, or is either red or blue version. So people could type in the Twitch chat, say go up, down, left, right, press start, save, whatever, right? When you had everybody trying to do everything at once, it didn't work. You got some great memes out of it. It was great. It was kind of funny to watch for the first couple of gym battles, but it didn't work. The game didn't play effectively. There were two different versions. There was one where people could vote on what happened, and it still didn't really work. Or it was just whatever came up happened, which was even worse. So letting people... Council people are there to represent. They're not there to be crowdsourced upon. You are there to make decisions on behalf of your constituents rather than have your constituents control everything you do, especially since there are a lot of people out there who make a lot of bad decisions. So hopefully you're smart enough, if you do get this position, to make the decisions that are good for everybody and not be controlled. That's all I have to say to you, sir, if you're listening right now. Making an app and letting people control you, that's how you let bad things happen. Or like if some sort of corporation hacks it, you're a puppet now. Congratulations, dude. You're a puppet. But let's get in some lighter news. Inauguration invitation misprints causes the phones to ring off the hook in Asheville Printing Company. In Asheville, North Carolina, the inauguration, it's coming up in a couple of weeks in Washington, D.C., but a company in Asheville, North Carolina, are having their phones ring off the hook. Plum Print had nothing to do with the inauguration ceremony until the invitees started calling for more details. Meg Ragland, the co-founder of Plum Print, said her company had received about 20 calls in 2 days about the inauguration. After doing some research, she realized that Plum Print's phone number was misprinted on the FedEx return label of thousands of inauguration invitations. It is a printing company, but not one of the print, but not one that prints invitations. Plum Print deals with children's artwork. I get annoyed real quick. There have been a few times where, especially after I got a new phone, I think it was somebody else's number at something at one point, because I got a lot of phone calls from the same person. Hey, is this person here? It's like, no, this is Patrick. Is this person here? This is the same person. He's not here anymore. He changed his number on you, bitch. Leave me alone. So I can only imagine what this business is going through, especially since you're only going to get more people calling in, right? Last news story I have for you this morning. Two girls face charges after trespassing Gillette Prison. One was trapped inside. In Chicago, the old Gillette Correctional Center has been closed for 15 years, but authorities said that did not stop two teenage girls from going inside Monday, resulting in one of them being trapped. The two girls made their way through or around the fence at the old Gillette Prison and then snuck inside the place, which dates back to 1858. One of the Gillette Fire Department employees took the call when one girl phoned for help. The fire department arrived and reportedly used a sledgehammer to break through a wall. The teenagers faced under an hour of jail time. Now authorities said they will both be facing trespass charges. I don't blame them for sneaking in, to be honest. Obviously, trespassing is bad and good. But when I went to San Francisco on a school trip, we ended up going to... Oh my gosh, if I blank on this, I'm going to kill myself. Alcatraz. We ended up going to Alcatraz. I can't believe I almost blanked on that for a second. I loved it. It was awesome. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had. Like, exploring an old prison. It's super creepy if you listen to any of the stories that happened there, on top of the infamous escape that happened, or the god-awful movie The Rock. But it was a really fun experience, and I could only imagine how much more fun it would be if there wasn't the gift shop there, if there weren't just a bunch of tourists wandering around. Could you imagine just wandering around an abandoned jail? I can see why they'd want to sneak in. Again, not condoning trespassing. Trespassing's bad. But I'd love to do it more. Not trespass, but explore more abandoned jails, or even old military forts are a ton of fun. I've been to a couple of those, and those are a ton of fun to go wandering around, especially if you like have a flashlight on you. That was the news for this hour. Again, if you want tickets to see El Corazon's KJRG Presents August Burns Red, call me at 253-833-5004. I have a pair of tickets, two tickets. You and a friend get to go. But we'll be back. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KJRG FM. We got the six-pack coming up next.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with The Buzz.
The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. It's time for our six-pack, our top six list of things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome. This morning, the subject, it's hilarious to me, because these people got what they deserve for being idiots, right? But it is our top six horrible outcomes for people who mimic movies. I'm going to put this out there. If you're going to mimic something out of a movie, like this was a big phenomenon when that show Jackass was popular, right? You had people trying to mimic that stuff. Well, these guys are professional stuntmen. And it didn't end well for those people involved. In fact, there are even a couple of deaths. But we talked a lot about movies this morning during Geeky News, so why not talk about some people who decided to try to make or mimic movies? One last thing before we hop into the six-pack, I want to give a shout-out to Nick's mom called in and won him the last pair of August Burns Red tickets that we have in the studio, and probably the last pair of tickets anywhere right now. That August Burns Red show is sold out! But stay tuned, we got plenty of other tickets to win up here at KGRG. Into that later, but let's go ahead and start into our six pack, right? First one, a movie that I liked when I was younger, but since I've grown older, I now just find it annoying. I think it's, I hate to say I'm growing up, but it's a bummer to say. But number six is Wedding Crashers inspired people to poison their friends. Yeah, because nothing says a prank like poisoning your friends. You might expect a movie like Wedding Crashers that came out in 2005 to encourage a bad behavior, but it inspired more than just people showing up to uninvited weddings. After this movie came out, another fad swept the nation, Visining Your Friends. The idea came from a scene in which Owen Wilson spikes Bradley Cooper's drink with the eyedrop Visine, which gives Cooper diarrhea. Which is funny in a movie because, you know, poo jokes are funny. In a fictional world, Cooper also deserves to be poisoned because he likes the same girl as the protagonist, and he's kind of a jerk in that movie. A lot of people copy the prank. Apparently, many people in the real world are perfectly comfortable with poisoning their friends because there was a rash of Visine poisonings after the movie came out. But in real life, the prank is not funny because Visine poisoning doesn't just give you diarrhea. It can put you in a coma. In 2012, one woman was Visined by her stepdaughter so many times that the poor woman had consumed 15 bottles of the eye drops by the time the doctors figured out what was wrong. She had been sent to the hospital twice with everything from vomiting and tremors to bleeding. In 2011, another girl, a high-achieving medical student, poisoned her classmate and then bragged about how she'd Visined her. As it turned out, the judge felt that medical professionals shouldn't poison people. You think that's a given. And she lost the right to study medicine. God, I can't believe that. Number five is something out of science fiction. One of my favorite science fiction books. The book was nothing like the movie, which is in some cases good, in some cases kind of a bummer. I really wanted to see the old dude die. But Jurassic Park inspired the Chickenosaurus. The Chickenosaurus. Now available in a sandwich at Burger King, I guess. But in 1993, Jurassic Park gave us a beautiful dream. A theme park full of prehistoric dinosaurs is existing enough that we all want it, even if the dinosaurs might break out and kill us all. So scientists are working on making that dream a reality in the worst way imaginable. About 20 years after the film premiered, a global campaign began to bring Jurassic Park to life. Ideas are being shared between top minds from the best universities, all under the supervision of Jack Horner, the dinosaur expert from the movie. But the science in the movie isn't really possible, so they decided to mutilate chickens to make them look like dinosaurs instead. That's just awful. As we discussed earlier, the plans to modify chickens to have a snout, teeth, a long tail, and wings to look like tiny arms. They're really working on this and have modified chicken embryos to look like dinosaur snouts. They even expect to have the Chickenosaurus for public viewing within the next 10 years. So we're not really going to get dinosaurs. Instead, we're getting deformed chickens that look like tiny feathery monsters with scrawny hands that stumble around clumsily through cages longing for death. Horner and his team are hoping that their mutant chicken will inspire the dreams of children, although it's more than likely just going to scare the hell out of them. I find it terrifying, man. Like, mutant chickens running around? It'd scare me straight edge. It'd scare me vegan, man. I'd never want to eat another chicken nugget again. And then number four in our six-pack of the top six. That's right, the top six. Horrible outcomes for people who mimicked movies. Number four. Somebody decided to, you know, drive through a wall. Why? Back to the Future. That's right, in 2015, just a couple years ago, one Florida man watched the Back to the Future movie from 1995 and thought, I could do that. I mean, who can't drive 88 miles an hour, right? I know a couple of people who can't drive 65, but 88's pretty easy, right? That's a bad joke, I'm sorry. But he didn't have an extensive background in science or engineering, but he had seen a quick shot of Doc Brown's flux capacitor and figured he knew how it worked, more or less. So he put it to the test. He rigged up his Dodge Challenger and tore down the street as fast as he could, hoping that he'd flash back in time when his car hit 88 miles per hour. According to the man who tried, the maneuver actually worked. He told police that a time portal opened in front of him to pull back through the history, but it closed before he could get through. When the time portal closed, or his hallucination ended, whatever happened first, he found himself charging towards a brick wall at 88 miles per hour. His car went flying through the wall, into a shopping mall, and then through another brick wall. Luckily, the mall was empty and nobody died, but another noble experiment in science obviously fell apart. The man who was brought in for medical and psychological evaluation, because anybody who thinks that he can turn a Dodge Challenger into a time machine is obviously insane, except he was completely unharmed despite driving a car through an entire shopping mall. I mean, who's to say it didn't work, right? Maybe he did go back in time, had his adventures, and then realized he had to go back to the future, or present, or whatever. Also, it's not a Dodge Challenger. You can't just use any darn car. You have to use a flux capacitor, and it has to be a DeLorean. You can't just use any random car, dude. That's where you went wrong. That was part one of our six-pack of the top six horrible outcomes for people who mimicked movies. Obviously, these people got what they deserved. Stay tuned, because we'll have numbers 3, 2, and 1 after our band of the month, our friends from Waking Things. They just put out their newest album, Details. And if you're a longtime listener of The Buzz, you know about our close friends, Waking Things. We love the dude's death. Chris, amazing singer, right? Dude's awesome. So I know they're playing the Vera Project coming up soon. For more information on that, check out The Buzz's Facebook and Twitter, at TheBuzzKGRG. Here's a song from their album Details by Waking Things. It's down below.
And now, back to the six-pack.
That was our friends Waking Things with their song down below off of their new album Details. If you want to check out that album or check out Waking Things, visit their Bandcamp. That's bandcamp.com/... Or that's wakingthings.bandcamp.com. I'm awful at this. Wakingthings, one word, .bandcamp.com. Their next show is coming up soon at Bear Project. And I love Bear Project. That is actually the place I went to for my first KGRG show. So support them. They're an awesome local band. Huge friends of the show. And they're great. But we're in the middle of our six-pack, our top six list of things that are awesome. Occasionally not so awesome. This one I think is awesome because these idiots got what they deserved. Is the top top six horrible outcomes that are for top six horrible outcomes for people who make movies. I am having an awful time this morning. For those of you who missed part one, number six was Wedding Crashers inspired people to poison their friends with Visine because giving people diarrhea is funny, unless it turns them into a coma victim. Number five was Jurassic Park inspired the Chickasaurus, which sounds neat, but it's actually just a bunch of chickens running around that people mutated to try to look like dinosaurs. They don't. They still look like just gross chickens that will swear you off of chicken nuggets. Number five was a dude in Florida decided to take his Dodge Charger, drive it 88 miles an hour into a mall because he saw some dude on Back to the Future do it. And he thought, yeah, no, I can do it too. Now, number three wasn't from a movie. It was from a TV show, but noteworthy all the same on KGRGFM, KGRGFM, HD1, Auburn, also broadcasting on K207, AP, Seminole Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. Number three is Breaking Bad inspired people to dissolve each other in acid. The TV show Breaking Bad, which aired from 2008 to 2013, gave a dramatic tutorial on how to get rid of a dead body. You put it in a plastic container, dump it in hydrofluoric acid, and viola. Instant body disposal. Not something we can tone on the buzz, but hey, that's how you do it. It's probably not a surprise that criminals tried to copy this. After the show aired, blue meth began popping up everywhere. Inspired by the show, panicking murderers tried getting rid of bodies by dumping them in vats of acid. In 2013, one man tried it with his girlfriend after strangling her to death. A group of French students did it to a classmate who owed them drug money. They all got the idea from the same show, right down to buying a plastic vat to avoid the messy mishap in the bathtub. Now, what you might not realize, how badly it all turned out in real life. It turns out that Walter White was the worst chemistry teacher in the world. Hydrofluoric acid actually does nothing to the body except make it a little softer. Instead of getting rid of the body, those people just left a person sitting in a vat of acid. They're all caught by someone wandering into the house, which ended the careers of those master criminals. So, when I was in junior high, we had a chemistry unit. There's somebody calling at 253-833-5004. Call back in about 5 minutes. I'll get right back to your call. Sorry, dude. But when I was in as a junior high chemistry class, some kids decided it would be funny if they put acid on each other. It was hilarious for me. They weren't trying to like kill each other or dissolve each other. But, yeah, they thought it was a good idea to put acid on themselves. The teacher had to just sort of put baking soda on their arms. We'll be right back after I take this call. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG.
And now, back to the six-pack.
The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. That was Evergreen by Knucklepuck. We're doing part three of our six-pack, our top six list of things that are awesome, not too awesome. The six-pack is the top six horrible outcomes for people who make movies. Quick recap, number six was Wedding Crashers inspired people to poison their friends with Visine. Number five was Jurassic Park inspired the terrifying Chickasaurus Rex. Number four was Back to the Future inspired a man to drive through a wall. And then we just went over number three, which is Breaking Bad inspired people to dissolve each other in acid. Now number two is about a story that's pretty famous up here in the Pacific Northwest. A lot of people know it. Into the Wild inspired people to travel into the wilderness. And they ended up dying. Christopher McCandles once traveled into the wilderness, rejecting the corrupting grind of the city life. He became a survivalist who lived off the land and connected with nature. His life story became the movie Into the Wild in 2007, which inspired countless people to do the same thing. But presumably some of them missed the bit where, at the end, he died. One of the saddest stories is that Dustin Self, like many others, he saw the movie in 2013, decided he needed to reject the modern life and all its trappings, but he didn't know anything about the wilderness. Dustin, a vegetarian who hadn't spent any time in the wild, developed a survival plan based entirely on the things that he had seen in the film. He assumed that all it would take would be some work despite his complete lack of experience in the outdoors. He decided he could live by picking off and eating berries, a questionable plan that, at the best of times, is potentially a fatal one in the middle of the winter, which is when Dustin decided to set out. He got lost when his GPS sent him in the wrong direction, an ironic turn of events, given that he was trying to get away from technology. His family noticed his absence and requested help finding him, but sadly he was dead when his naked frozen body was discovered under a tree. It is probably safe to assume that the autopsy did not reveal a stomach full of berries, unfortunately. Dustin's plans had to be changed when his image of a sheltered city boy to a worldly outdoorsman, but he achieved just the opposite. Instead of people hearing tales of his heroism, his parents had to fill the media with reports that described his son as not a survivalist and an urban child. Like, honestly, I can't believe somebody would do that. I've watched enough survival shows and know how hard it is. Like, I don't want to try to light a fire using a bag of my own pee. Last one we have, number one. October Sky inspired boys to steal train tracks. In the movie October Sky from 1999, the hero pulls spikes out of the train tracks and sells them to fund a rocket. It's a little risky, but it's all in the name of scientific progress. Besides, the hero targets a track that he believes is no longer in use. Two men who saw the movie thought the idea was swell, so they stole over 150 spikes in 2006. They weren't trying to build a rocket or anything. It just never hurts to have some extra cash lying around. They also didn't worry about the tracks that aren't in use thing and yanked the spikes out of an active line. Apparently, these men were completely comfortable with the train derailing and killing hundreds as long as they can make, you know, quick buck. Somebody found the missing pieces and shut down the entire train system before a disaster struck. Fortunately, nobody died, but the thieves were tracked down, arrested, and charged. They still gave a fairly good explanation for why they did it. Sure, they nearly killed hundreds of people, but those spikes could have earned them $3 apiece. Growing up in Puyallup, the sounder system was relatively new. But we've always had trains running through downtown Puyallup. There was one time where one of my friends and I decided to just walk down the train tracks, very similar to that Will Wheaton movie. And we walked along, had a couple of handfuls of train tracks just from of railroad spikes just from walking down. They weren't tied down or anything, they were just loose. But yeah, didn't take much to just pick them up. We had a couple of handfuls. Unfortunately, we had to drop them when we got in trouble from a security guard at the sounder station. That was our top six. Our top six horrible outcomes for people who mimicked movies on 89.9 KGRG. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Buzz. We'll be back after Punks in a Disco Bar by Beach Slang. MXPX with the Punk Rock Show on 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. Casey mixed our six-pack this morning. You can listen to it on demand on KGRG.com or on the official KGRG FM app. But it was the top six. Top six people who had an unfortunate ending when they decided to copy some stuff they saw in movies, right? You had the guy who poisoned their friends with Visine. You had the dude who thought he could drive 88 miles an hour into a mall. But let's talk about some movie reenactments that I tried to do that ended up well for me. The one I can think of is, I love Disneyland, man. Like, Disneyland's my favorite place. I've only been twice, but once when I was, like, going to kindergarten and once my senior year of high school. But when I went my senior year, I got to live out a lifelong dream. They had this thing where they have stormtroopers come out, they dance, it's hilarious. And then they have a dude dressed up as Darth Vader come out. And it's meant for kids, but honestly, I don't care. I'm just one giant kid. You have the option to fight Darth Vader in a lightsaber duel, which is you run up there, you might hit his lightsaber a couple times with a fake lightsaber, and then you hit him and then you win. Yay. But for me, definitely a big highlight for me. I loved it. Like, I grew up just in love with Star Wars, and there's nothing cooler than going and fighting, I wouldn't say a villain you look up to, but one of the biggest villains of your childhood. And you get to be Luke Skywalker. He wasn't my dad, but it was a ton of fun. Later that trip, I also went and I made my own lightsaber that I still have at home. The batteries are kind of dying in it, so it's, instead of sounding like the lightsaber works, makes the whooshy noises, it just sort of sounds like a really bad walkie-talkie. It's kind of sad, but I still have it around. I also like playing Goonies a lot. It's weird, that's another movie that we didn't see people reenact in our six-pack, luckily, but there's something to say about, well, between the Goonies and like a little bit of Indiana Jones in there. There's something to say about going to old ruins and exploring them a little bit. Now, old ruins is relative when you think about how old the U.S. is, but like those old, debunked, decrepit, broke, like they've obviously been abandoned for a while. Military bases, those are great. There's even one overlooking the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco that I went to. And I mentioned during, it was a little bit earlier, that, or during the last news segment, that I went to Alcatraz. And it's awesome. Again, it makes me feel like a kid. You get to wander around places that have a lot of history behind it. You get to, these are very real places and very real things. When I went to North Carolina, I got to see Fort Sumter, which is another historical place, hugely historical. For those of you who don't know, who aren't history buffs, Fort Sumter in Carolina was the where the Civil War happened. It's where it started. It's where you have the first shots of the Civil War. Nobody died until the end of that battle. But just to be at a place so historically significant and explore it, knowing that people stood here hundreds of years ago, and easily a very dark time in the U.S., but it was really cool. It was awesome. So call me at 253-833-5004. Let me know what's something that you do, something you might have reenacted from a movie, or a movie that you feel like you reenact whenever you do something you have fun. For me, it was when I went to Disneyland, fought Darth Vader, or exploring stuff like the Goonies and Indiana Jones. Again, that's 253-833-5004. What's a movie you've tried to reenact, and how does it make you feel? Again, it makes me feel like a giant kid. I love it. We got your news coming up next after Little MC Chris on 89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by the Sold Out. KGRG presents August Burns Red at El Corazon on January 20th. They're going to be playing with Protest the Hero in Heart's Wake and 68. Hopefully, if you don't already have your tickets, yeah, you're sort of screwed, buddy. Because we're done. We're out of tickets here at KGRG, at least for this show. Stay tuned in, though, to KGRG all day, all week, 24-7, because we got plenty of tickets to give away. For the rest of the month, we're giving away tickets for shows like One OK Rock, AFI. We also have your Less Than Jake and Pepper tickets, but you gotta stay tuned in to win. That's all I'm gonna say, man.
Woo!
Let's go ahead and get into this news, though. I got some very interesting news. We'll start off with the interesting, and then we'll get to the sad news, because why not leave it on a downer, right? First news story we have for you this morning. A Virginia man delivers 300,000, that's 300, and then three more zeros, pennies to the DMV, but he spends over $1,000 to do it. That's right, in Lebanon, Virginia, it's one way to get back at the DMV. Nick Stanford from Lebanon carried 5 wheelbarrows of pennies to the Department of Motor Vehicles on Wednesday. It was $300,000, or 300,000 pennies in total. He told the Bristol Herald Courier it was to pay sales tax on 2 new cars. The pennies weighed in at 1,600 pounds, and Stafford ended up filing 3 lawsuits, spending at least $1,000 to give the DMV his 2 cents, or more like 300,000 cents. On a Facebook post, he says, "I arrived at the DMV at 9 o'clock a.m. this morning after doing a few interviews with local news stations and in the parking lot. I started transporting the pennies into the DMV using my 5 wheelbarrows full of unrolled pennies, $2,987.45 worth. After finishing the paperwork to my title, my vehicles, and pay my sales tax, the DMV started counting the pennies. At first, the DMV started counting the pennies using automated coin counting machines, but the machines were jamming." He said he had a bone to pick with the DMV, not about agonizing along lines or a bad picture on his driver's license, but about 10 phone numbers. Stanford told his version of the story to newspapers. Apparently, back in September, he wanted to know which of his four houses spanning two Virginia counties he should list when licensing his son's new Corvette. He attempted to call the limit on DMV, but was routed to call center in Richmond. He then submitted a request under the Freedom Information Act that citizens, journalists, and others can use to obtain public government information to get a direct number to limit on DMV, which he was provided. Some information is exempt from FOIA documents about trade secrets and natural defense. Where do you get 300,000 pennies? Working in retail, it's hard enough if you're running low on pennies for your cash register to get like a roll of pennies, especially on the weekend, man. On a weekend, it's not like you can just run down to the bank and pick up more pennies. So he must have cleared out dozens, if not thousands, of banks on top of, like, I know that my mom and my dad and my grandparents all have those, like, water cooler jugs just filled with coins. So he must have had tons of those and 5 wheelbarrows. And I wouldn't waste the grand to do it, man. I don't have the grand to spend to just waste on transporting pennies to the DMV. Just give me your card. Unless you're like a couple DMVs locally where you only accept cash. Then, yeah. Next news story we got. A Uber driver used a writer's credit card to buy Viagra.
Oh, my.
An Uber driver from New Haven was arrested on January 9th in connection with allegations that he tried to use a writer's credit card to buy $519 worth of Viagra. Oh boy! Somebody's in for a fun night. David J. Walker of Poplar Street was picked up by West Haven police on an outstanding Fairfield warrant that he charged a fifth-degree larceny, credit card theft, illegal use of a credit card, and receiving goods or services obtained illegally. Walker's arrest stems from a September incident when a Fairfield resident left her purse in his car after getting a ride through the ride booking service Uber. A half hour after she attempted to report her stolen purse, she received a fraud alert that her credit card was taken in an attempt to buy Viagra online. There was also a $45 purchase at a gas station near Walker's home. With cooperation of Uber, police were able to determine Walker, age 30, was indeed her driver, and he had no other passengers for the 24 hours after he dropped her off. He is held on $5,000 bail and is scheduled to appear in Superior Court on January 20th. So, mistake number one, buddy. It was a female writer. Yeah, the lady might be married. She might be picking up a husband's prescription. I'm not going to judge, man, but don't use a lady's credit card. And we at The Buzz and KJRG don't condone larceny or anything like that, but at least use a dude's credit card. Why would you buy Viagra under a lady's name? That doesn't make sense, but... And why would you need that much? I'm sorry, dude. Like, you need help. You need a lot of help. You need, like, medical help if you need that much. Poor guy. Last news story I have for this morning. Again, it's a bit of a downer. But, get a 40 and pour one out for Ecto Cooler. Hi-C is burying the Ghostbusters-themed flavor once again. Hi-C's Ecto Cooler flavor, a drink brimming with nostalgia for both kids of the 80s and 90s, as well as fans of the Ghostbusters, is being laid to rest at the end of the year. After a 15-year hiatus, the Coca-Cola company brought back the paranormal juice drink back to life in May, ahead of Sony Pictures' god-awful Ghostbusters remake. It initially released in 1987 as a tie-in with the original Ghostbusters franchise in the cartoon series The Real Ghostbusters, Ecto Cooler stayed in store shelves for the first time until 2001. According to a press release, the internet's love of Ecto Cooler helped sway Coca-Cola to resurrect the beverage. Needless to say, those same internet soldiers are feeling the pain after the announcement. A couple of tweets. Sad news, but the return was a miracle and lasted for a long time. Kudos to those who made it happen. It was a real thrill for us all. Another person, at Rezer Ecto Cooler. No! Oh! They're like 18 O's, so sorry. It's a bummer. For some people. Not gonna lie, not the biggest fan of, like, gimmick stuff. So, Ecto Cooler, I can deal with that. 7-Eleven for a while ran a Slurpee for, I want to say it was The Dark Knight. the Batman movies, where it was grape-flavored Mountain Dew, but it turned your tongue purple. I hate stuff that turns, like, my tongue different colors. It's the worst. It's gross. It weirds me out. Not a fan. But I can understand why people are sad. Another thing that I wasn't sad to see it go was the colored ketchup. It always tasted funny to me. So, R.I.P. Ecto Cooler. We knew you fondly. That's the best I'll say about that. But that was your news for this morning. After Sum 41 Fake My Own Death, we'll be out of here on The Buzz, 89.9 KGRG FM. Stay tuned. Rest to Get Better by Transit on 89.9 KGRG FM. You've been listening to The Buzz all morning. And I appreciate that, man. Everybody listening, I'm going to take a page out of Mike from The Monday Project. You can listen to him every Monday, 7 to 10. If it wasn't for listeners, I'd just sort of be talking to myself in this room all week. And I miss Danica, man. I miss her a lot. Her being sick's been a huge bummer. So hopefully she'll get well sooner than later. And like I said, I'm excited. We have rumors and stirrings that we might have some other interns, some fresh blood coming through here. Hopefully starting next week. I'll see if I can't get a hold of them or if they can't get a hold of me. I don't know, man. If you ever want to get a hold of me, at the BuzzKJRG on Facebook, on Twitter. Maybe you want to be an intern. You can sign up for Journalism 110 here at Green River College. Become an intern for The Buzz. It's a ton of fun. Easiest 4.0 you'll ever get. I managed to get a 4.0, and I barely got through high school. So that's not saying something. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just an idiot. Who knows? But this has been The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. If you've missed any part of this show, any part of our past shows, if you want to just go back in time and enjoy some sweet old classic Buzz, visit KGRG.com or download the official KGRG FM app. It's neat. It's shiny. It's got a bunch of cool stuff on it. It's got an alarm clock. You can listen to the stream for free. It's a really awesome app. Plus, who can't get enough of me, right? You can't get enough. So listen to me on demand at the Buzz KGRG. It's available on iTunes and Google Play. But until Wednesday morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. on 89.9 KGRG. This has been The Buzz.